Nehemiah chapter number 4 this evening. 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 4, we'll read one verse tonight, in unison. We'll read verse number 6 together. Nehemiah chapter number 4, we'll read verse number 6 all together. Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us today. It's been a good day in the house of the Lord. We've enjoyed being here. We've enjoyed the fellowship. We've enjoyed the laughter. We've enjoyed the uplifting word. We've enjoyed the challenges that we've heard in Sunday school and Sunday morning message this morning. Lord, we're here again tonight, not out of a responsibility, not just to check a box off to say we were in church again, but Lord, we're here tonight because we truly desire something from the Word of God again. We'd ask that our minds would be able to be focused again, empty ourselves of ourselves, so that way you can fill us as we listen to the Word of God being preached by the man of God who's yielded to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we'd ask that your hand would be upon the service now. We'll be focused on the truth that's at hand. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you just a little background, and then we'll jump right into the service, much of the Old Testament is centered around a 70-year period. If you were here on the Wednesday nights I taught on the book of Daniel, you'll find out that Daniel was written while the Jews were in 70 years of judgment for 490 years of disobedience. You have to understand that for 490 years, the Jews did not keep the Sabbath year. That means they missed 70 Sabbath years. And God kept telling them through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, look, either repent and change your ways, or God's going to bring judgment. So you had hundreds of years of preaching of change your ways or you're going to be judged. Or you had books of the Bible during those 70 years. That is the book of Daniel. Daniel was written under the captivity of Babylon and all the other empires, and not going into that right now. Then you had those that were written just thereafter. That's Ezra, Nehemiah, some of those books of the Bible. And it talks about the rebuilding of the wall, the rebuilding of the cities, and that type of thing. But much of the Bible, much of the Old Testament, centered around that one 70-year period. Either going into it, trying to keep them from going into it, during it, or thereafter. Now, Nehemiah was chosen by God to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem just after the 70 years captivity. Before they rebuilt the city, before people moved back in, God wanted them to rebuild the wall around the city for protection. That was the purpose of it. Now, Jerusalem had been leveled and destroyed 70 years prior. Now think about this, a massive wall to where you could run 3 to 5 horses side by side in chariots across, all around a city. The Bible says that there was not one stone left built upon another. And then it laid there for 70 years, just weathering and rotting. These Jews show up to a giant pile of rubble. Worthless. Not good to be used much anymore. A nearly impossible task. You have to understand, that would be like building a wall around the city of Martinsburg. We're not talking about a wall around your property, around a city. How do you do something so massive? Where do you even begin? God makes a statement in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, that's a key. It is not a secret, but it is a key that the world and the devil want you to forget about. Look at Nehemiah 4:6 again. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together in the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. God said the people had a mindset to work. Listen to this statement. They didn't just have a good work ethic. They didn't just work hard. They had a mind to work. These were not minion slaves that just did whatever they were told to do. These were thinking people that thought about their work. They were not thinking about just getting it done. They were thinking about doing it right, doing it best, and doing it efficiently. There's a lot of people that work hard and don't get anything done. Being busy doesn't mean that you're getting a lot done. I watch people run in circles all the time and they get nowhere. Oh, they're busy all the time, but they never finish anything and never get anything done. I know people that know how to work hard, but they don't know how to think. And they work five times as hard to get half as much done. Now, America was founded on the principles of freedom and the freedom to work to get what you want. Not that the government's to give you what you want. Government that takes the mindset of work away, which is communism and socialism, oppress people by giving them too much and taking work away. Oppression comes by taking work away. Oppression is not giving more work. Oppression is taking work away and giving you what the government wants you to have. Now hang on. America became great not because the government gave handouts. America became great and productive and wealthy by work. You can get mad at me all you want, but I'm not changing what I'm about to say. Public education has even taken the concept of work away, and look how messed up our children and college students are. The average college in America needs the law to go in and clean it up. 18, 19, and 20-year-olds ought not be drinking and partying. Amen. It should not be acceptable because they're at college. Everybody doing okay? Amen. I think it's wrong. I think it's criminal. I think they started throwing people in jail for it and holding administrations accountable for things as well, you'd be surprised how much better education would be. Amen. I think if we'd quit giving grades, back in the 70s, they started grading on something called the curve. I call it the slum. That means you took the general average and dropped it so more people could pass. It's criminal. I'm glad in our school, our grading scale is the old-fashioned scale. That means this, 94 is the last A. I think that's true, isn't it? 94 is the last A. Many schools in America do what they call a straight scale, 90, 80, 70, 60, and 60 is passing. That means if you got 60% of the work right, then you passed. I think that's criminal. That means you could miss 6 out of 10 on every test and still pass. And the more we dumb it down, no wonder 30% of our graduates can't read. High school graduates that can't read. Everybody doing okay? But we give them everything they want. Let's give them a computer. Let's give them an iPad to take with them all the way through school. Let's let them do all their work on a computer and get rid of pencils and pens and crayons. And let's let the graphics do it for them. our society and our world have forgotten the joy of work. We want everything given to us, or we buy on credit to satisfy our selfish thirst for more. Sadly, our churches have sucked this poison down, and now are no more. Most churches are no more than an extension of welfare. I wish you took the calls in a month to this church asking for us to pay their electric bill, their mortgage, their rent, buy food for them, pay gas for them. The 1st of November, we start getting calls if we're going to give things to the needy for Christmas. I hate to disappoint you, but I find nowhere in Scripture that the church is supposed to have a food pantry to feed the entire community. If you can find it. Now, I do believe in taking care of the poor and the hungry, but I find nowhere where you're supposed to do that in the church. That's to the individual responsibility. Everybody doing all right? Amen, preacher. Now, even churches don't know how to succeed because they've given up pleasing God and obeying the Bible to try to please people and have a big crowd or a big offering. Let's give everybody what they want. Let's have music that they want, not that God wants. Let's give them a chance to say everything they want, and let's let them get up and do the service. Let's have praise and worship teams, and let's let everybody get up and dance for Jesus. That's a bunch of garbage. They'll sell popsicles where the booger man lives where that happens here. That's the nicest way I knew how to say that with kids here. My fellow Christian, we need a mind to work. May I say something? God did call the church the work of the Lord, the work of the ministry. I don't know about you, but I enjoy work. I like to work. I don't always enjoy every part of my work. I'll be honest with you. But I love to work. And I have a mind to work. Now, sometimes my mind doesn't work, but no comments, please. Especially you, Brother Scott. Now, but for us to get Grace Baptist Church to where it needs to be, Grace Baptist Church is going to have a mind to work. We're not supposed to be welfare. As Brother Roloff used to say, welfare is neither well nor fair. Let me give you a statistic. Why is it then that 90% of the work in a church is done by 10% of the people? Our church is above average. It's probably about 80-20, 75-25. It ought to be 100%. Just say it. Everybody can do something. Now, not everybody's going to be able to clean the building, mow the grass, sweep the driveway, or whatever. But there's something for everybody to do in the work of the ministry. We need churches, and our church needs to have a mindset of work. Churches do not build themselves. It's done by the work of everybody in it. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the staff. It is to be the work of the Lord by the people of God. It's all of us doing it. Now, let's talk about us having a mind to work. First off, everybody doing all right? Smile. I love you. Boys and girls, you're not getting tomorrow off school. Tomorrow's a day to work. I believe children, by the way, if you went to the book of Lamentations, you'll find out God said it's good for a man to bear the burden in his youth. You want to teach a generation how to work? Teach them from the time they can walk. Teach them from the time they can walk. I believe children ought to learn to work. Not be slaves, but I think they ought to learn how to work. Mommies and daddies shouldn't have to do all the picking up. Mommies and daddies ought to see that things are getting picked up, but mommies and daddies need to let boys and girls pick up after themselves. Yeah. That's why we have 30-year-old people still living at home. No offense. 40-year-olds. 50-year-olds. Ain't happening. You say, preacher, yeah, it happens. So, first of all, take your Bible. First of all, God made man to work. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. That's the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. Brother Scott, that's about page number 5, 6, somewhere. Yeah, it's okay. At least he has his Bible, Aaron. Ouch. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed of every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now look at me. God made man to work. His job was to take care of the Garden of Eden, trim the trees, mow the grass, pick the fruit and the vegetables, take care of everything. Then he said, I want you to name all the animals. That just doesn't mean God paraded them by and he said, well, that's Gertrude and that's Bessie and that's... No. He had to name what they were, but you have to understand, in order for him to know what went with what, that meant he had to draw a picture of them. He had to understand the difference between the male and the female and had to draw pictures of both. Because in the animal world, they were much different. He had to catalog them. He had to organize it. There's a lot of work involved. But I want you to notice something. It wasn't until, by the way, God made man to work. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creep upon the face of the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In other words, we were supposed to work. Now, watch this. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Notice they went from eating meat to eating herbs. Ouch. God didn't put the plants on the ark. Anyway, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Do you know what the curse involved for man? He'd hate work. And work would be harder. Did it not say in verse 17, in sorrow shalt thou eat? I wonder how many people will get up. I got to go to work tomorrow. I hate work. Now, wait a minute. That's because of sin. God made us to work. God made us to work. Now, God did not give man a wife until he was busy working. Worst thing to do is let young people date. May I teach you a principle? I don't think young people ought to date till they're college age or in their career. Because you don't need help doing anything if you're not doing anything. That's why you got 15, 16, 17-year-olds getting pregnant. They have no business dating. High school kids shouldn't be dating. It ought not be Days of Our Lives and a soap opera in the school. We shouldn't have to have nurseries in the school for the children of the children going to school. Okay, we'll go there. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God made us to work. Sin causes us not to want to work. Look at Ephesians 2:10. We know verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not yourselves is the gift of God, not the works of the same man should boast. Quoted that this morning. But we forget verse 10 often. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God made us to do good works. God made us to work, and work was good. Now, we are happiest when we do what God created us to do. That's work. You say, preacher, you're not happy doing what God made you do if you hate your work. Old statement, but if you enjoy your work, you'll never work a day of your life. I didn't get up before 4 o'clock this morning thinking, oh, I gotta get up and go to the church this morning. I can't believe I gotta go work. Man, I couldn't wait. I had taken 50 milligrams of melatonin last night and I still couldn't sleep past 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning. Now most of you couldn't walk for the next 3 days. I took 50 milligrams of it last night just to sleep till 4 o'clock this morning. Because I was too excited. What's that? I did. She keeps increasing it. Some of us are just wired at 440, amen? Yeah, buddy, not 220, man. I got double. Now, hang on here. I love doing what I do. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on retreading. I plan on going as far as I can go, as fast as I go, for as long as I can go. I know the day's coming when I'm slowing down. But until then, pedal to the metal and my hair's on fire, amen? What's left of it. People who do not love to work are unhappy people. You go to the poor areas and I'll show you unhappy people. You go to where people live on welfare and I'll show you unhappy people. Those are your rioters. It's not working people that go out and riot. Yeah, we're too busy working. It's the people who are unhappy, not getting all they want, who have time to go out and do that and be angry because they don't get more. Folks, if you work at McDonald's, I apologize in advance. The ding dong that has to put French fries in the French fry machine and wait for it to beep and still can't get the French fries right doesn't deserve $15 an hour. Amen. I hate to disappoint you. Entry-level jobs are just that, entry-level. They're not made to... By the way, that's why you have to check yourself out at Walmart and all the stores now, because they can't afford to pay people to work there. Right. We're going to get to the point where you'll have cashless society to get you closer to the mark of the beast. Right. It's coming. See how easy it is to swipe your phone and pay for things or your credit card? Wait till it's in the back of the hand or the forehead and you just walk through the scanners. Now, we're going to be out of here before that happens. Don't worry about it. It's called the rapture. Amen. We're going to rapture while they rupture. So you have to understand, God made man to work. We are happiest when we're busy. Amen. We're happiest when we're working.
Yes, sir.
You show me someone who works and works hard and works well, I'll show you a happy person.
Right.
Can I tell you why most churches aren't very happy? Nobody does anything.
Right.
Best thing to do with a disgruntled person in church, get them busy doing something in church.
Amen.
Brother Josh and I work hard at keeping things to where people have something to do for the work of the Lord. I will never forget this as long as I live. I was sitting in Brother Heil's office just before church service one night. He looked up. He was working. We'd gather. And he looked up. He said, "Fellas, I'm going to say this one time only. I'll never say it again. I've never made this statement before. I'll never make it again." Well, while he's doing that, I'm pulling a 3x5 card out. Got my pen ready. He said, "I spend most of my time working to get people to do things they would not normally do for themselves." Put his head back down and started working. Is that not the work of the ministry? My job is to get you to do things you would not normally do. Read your Bible, pray, soul win, serve God. Who wants to go talk to total strangers? Yeah, but that's because you're a politician. Now, wait a minute. That's not a, for the general populace, that's not normal. I'm not one of those people that just jumps into a room, "Hello, y'all!" Yeah, I got to work the courage up. Now, I like to be friendly, but if you watch me at a public event, I'm fairly awkward. I'm not the most forward person in the room. Now, if I got to run it, hang on, I'm going to run it. But if I'm not running it, I'm backstage light. No problem with it. So, secondly, turn back to Nehemiah. So, first of all, God made man to work. Second of all, Nehemiah did not take handouts from the government. Nehemiah did not take handouts from the government. Go to Nehemiah chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. Everybody look at me. Be careful looking for government handouts to do everything you want to do. Everybody's used to getting a tax check. Some of you are going to be real disappointed this year when you don't get your tax check back. Because it's coming. Hang on. Verse 14, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their," what? "Governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even of the 230th year of Artaxerxes the king," that is 12 years, "I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God." Quit getting used to government money.
Amen.
I'm here to shout. Some of you are going to cry a crummy river here in a couple weeks when you file your taxes. You're going to be all torqued out. But your preacher's been telling you for 2 years now, it's coming. It's coming. Josh was at Walmart in Hagerstown the other day. $8 a dozen for eggs. Those aren't even the goose that laid the golden eggs. Man. God, America is not the land of government giving out. It's supposed to be the land of opportunity.
Amen.
Equality means everybody has the same opportunity. Not unification where everybody has the same thing. We need to give opportunity to earn, not give people all they want. These people on the side of the road with their sign that they need help and need food, offer them a job and watch how few of them will take you up on it.
Right.
Say, I need my house washed. Will you come wash it? No, it's too cold. Well, then you're not too hungry.
True.
Guarantee it. Tell them you want, in the summertime, tell them you want them to come to your house and mow the grass and weed the yard once. Watch how few of them would get in the car and go with you. They want a handout. They don't want a hand up. I love what Henry Ford said. Every American has the right to not work and be poor and unsuccessful. I love that. Every American has the right to not work and be poor and unsuccessful. It's not the job of people that work to give the poor everything that they want or need. Sorry. Now, I know there's times where people need things, and we're here to help. But that doesn't mean that we're to support you the rest of your life.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? The people in Nehemiah learned to put the hours in necessary to get the job done. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Does that sound like an 8-hour day to you? Now hang on. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, let everyone with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. They didn't even get into their jammies. They stayed in their clothes, except to wash them. And they either were guarding or they were working day and night.
Amen.
Is that not what the Bible says? A year or two ago, a guy came here. He said, preacher, I'm just so tired. I had a long week at work. I said, really? He said, yeah, I put 30 hours in this week. I looked at, I said, I'm so sorry. He said, what do you mean? I said, I had 30 hours in 2 days this week. I don't know how you do it, preacher. Can I tell you something? There's times you just got to put the hours in and make it happen.
Amen.
Brother Roloff used to say, you make a living 9 to 5, you become successful 5 to 9.
Yes, sir. It's true.
I've chosen to be the 5 to 9 before and work 9 to 5. Some decide they'll work 9 to 5 and then 5 to 9 in the evening. I don't care which way you do it, but you're not going to make it on 8 hours alone and be successful. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. We need to teach our children and our teenagers to work. Children need taught chores at home. They need to learn to do things on their own. They need to realize their work is their school. Parents, teach them that school is their work. If they got paid for their school, which they should not, but if they did, the way you get paid for your job, most of them would starve to death. Couldn't hold a job. I believe a child's schoolwork is as important as a man's work. That's where the habits of work are formed. Showing up on time. Doing your work while you're there. Getting along with people you don't want to get along with. Is that not just like being at work? So for you to pamper that and say, well, you don't have, bless God, I don't care if you cry or not, go to work.
Amen.
My wife doesn't have to push me out the door because I don't want to go to work today, honey. Say, preacher, I can't picture that. My dad didn't let us cry going to school. Now, you may have been, because you were crying beforehand, and you're getting over the cry because he gave you something to cry about.
Amen.
He said, look, you can cry all you want, but you're still going to school.
Right.
Now, you want to cry about it now, or you want me to whip you and you can cry about it? But I decided the whipping wasn't worth it. He sold everything with that. I mean, trust me. Your dad was mean. He may have been, but I didn't cry him a whole lot. Children need to realize their chores, getting jobs done and done right. There's something about school that is important to the child's work ethic. They need to learn how to handle a load, do jobs they don't want to do, do work they don't want to do. Children, can I tell you something? You're going to spend your life doing things you don't want to do.
Amen.
The rest of your life. Trust me. Nobody in this world has a job that they love every part of it. Nobody. Man, that's good preaching, preacher. God wants you to enjoy his blessings, but he knows you'll enjoy it more if you work for it. That means this. I believe people ought to learn how to work at church. You'll enjoy the blessing of church more if you learn how to work at church. Getting involved in the nursery, junior church, nursing home, the mission, attending all the services, cleaning crew, music, soul winning, ushering, greeting, whatever it is, there's something for you to do. Hey, may I say something? If we'll just get involved in the work of the Lord, you might not dread it so much. 5 minutes, I'll hurry. Lastly, building a church requires work. I know that's a foreign concept. Did you know just because you put a building up and put a sign up, people don't just rush to the church building? Trust me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, don't turn there. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Does that sound like it's just going to appear and be there? Building requires work. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. By the way, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he paid for the church with his own blood. He bought the materials for the church. Guess whose job it is to build it? Ours. I'm going to make a statement here. I've said it before. I'll say it again. God doesn't let anybody go to hell. His fellow man does. Jesus did everything necessary for salvation. God made it available for everybody. He put it on our shoulders to go out there and tell everybody about it. If they die and go to hell, it's our fault, not his fault. That's as biblical as you're going to get. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, go me into all the world. He said, go ye. It did he not. He placed the responsibility of getting the gospel to every creature on you and me. Not just the preacher. On everybody. And he said, I want you to tell everybody, and the more people that get saved as they go around the world, as they do things, and we'll get more and more and more of the gospel out. But if it doesn't get out, it's not his fault, it's our fault. We are the laborers. It's our job. He did everything necessary. He bought and paid for the church. He's got all the materials here. He said, now go build the church. Why do we blame God for us not doing our work? Soul winning is man's responsibility. Can I tell you something? Every Christian needs to work and get involved in the work of the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm done with this, I promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, we are having school tomorrow. I'm not taking that holiday as a holiday for our school. I'm not going to celebrate a communist. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Can I tell you something? Your work for God is never vain. Your work for God will never be forgotten. You may not see it. Man may not see it, but God does. Why do you think God wants us to tithe? God says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not where your heart is, will your treasure follow. He said if you'll give to the work of God, your heart will follow, you'll get involved, and you'll help build the work of God. It's not about how much is on that paper that she gives you at the end of the year, and you look at it and say, wow, look how much money I gave. Aren't I a good Christian, God? No, tithing is obedience, not faith. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back saying, look how good I am, God. God said, son, you can't give near as much as I can. But tithing more comes by reaching more people. Instead of you giving more money, which I'm not against you doing, but I'd much rather see you go reach somebody, bring them to church and teach them to tithe. I really would. I'd rather you obey God with your tithe and then go out and reach another family, bring them in and teach them the blessing of tithing. And watch what God could do. The people had a mind to work. They weren't minion slaves. They didn't have a taskmaster and they had to be told everything to do. Now put that over there and do this over there. No, they thought through it. They thought through the efficiency of it. God made us to work. Let's not rely on the handouts and let's build the work of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. For the people had a mind to work. Do you have a mind to do anything for God? Would you like to get, I realize some of the older folks, it's harder for you to do things, but there's still things you can do. There's plenty for you to do.